Hi, I'm Father Cedric, the host of Live with Passion. I want you to know that a new springtime is coming into your life. Stay tuned. Hi, I'm Father Cedric Pisania, the host of Live with Passion. I'm so glad that you tuned into the program. I want to share with you a scripture. This happened right after Lazarus died, and his sister Mary came to Jesus and saw Jesus, knelt at his feet, said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews that came with her weeping, and he was greatly disturbed in spirit, deeply moved. And he said, "Where have you laid Lazarus?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus began to weep. And the Jews said, "See how he loved him." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you about something we're all familiar with. It was Ben Franklin that said there's two things in life we can be sure of. One of them is death and the other is taxes. And that's what I want to talk to you, not about taxes, but about death. Because our culture denies death. Our culture doesn't want to look at it. But our church does. Our church is not a death-denying church, it's a death-defying church. And death is something that lies before us and we all have to deal with it. So the title of this program is Live Well and Grieve Well. I want you to be prepared for your death, and I also want you to grieve well if you've lost somebody that you love. So I want to tell you that death has been in the news recently, all kinds of disasters that have occurred, hurricanes in Puerto Rico and Florida, Houston. There's been mudslides in California. People have been dying, and fires in California. There's been earthquakes where people have died. There's been terrorist shootings. People, of course, die of natural causes. But I want to say, you know, where is God in all this? That's what our cardinal was asked, because Hurricane Harvey came to Houston in the southeast Texas area. And the cardinal of our church there in Houston, Galveston, is a cardinal named Cardinal DiNardo. He had a meeting with the media. And all the media were spread out before them. One of the questions was, did God cause this hurricane? Where is God in all this? And Cardinal DiNardo answered in a very interesting way, because some 88 people had died in Hurricane Harvey. And Cardinal DiNardo said, God didn't cause the hurricane, but God redeems us through the hurricane. He talked about the first responders, the National Guard, people who came from Louisiana with boats to help, people that donated money from all around the country. And he said, God was in those people redeeming that situation. You see, God knows how to write straight with crooked lines. The tragedies, the trials, the natural disasters, the hurricanes, the deaths of our life, God redeems it. That's exactly what he did on the cross. Jesus, of course, crucified on Good Friday. God did not cause that. God redeemed it by raising Jesus from death. God knows how to write straight with crooked lines. And in the same way in our life, when we have somebody that we love die, or we're going through a trial or a tragedy in our life, God knows how to write straight with our crooked lines. He knows how to redeem the mess. I was preaching in Farmington, New Mexico. I was giving a parish mission there. And it was right after the time of the Las Vegas shooting. If you remember, some man with a gun was up in a hotel, and during a concert, thousands beneath, he started shooting everybody. And there were thousands of people down there, and some 59 people died during that shooting. Well, one of the women who had been at that concert, and all the people that were down there were terrified because at any moment they could have been shot and killed. Well, one of the women that had been at that concert actually came to New Mexico, and she came to me to confession. And she said that she had not been going to church, and she had been far away from God, and she was at that shooting. And that shooting so terrified her and made her think about her own death that she decided to come back to God. What it was that? That was God writing straight with the crooked lines of her life. And it was a beautiful moment for her, a moment of conversion. Same thing happened after 9/11 If you remember when the terrorists hit our World Trade Centers and thousands of people died, well, people all around the country began to come back to church because they realized death all of a sudden was right in front of them. They realized that, yes, one day they were going to die too, and they wanted to get right with God. And so I want to tell you that God knows how to bring resurrection out of the tragedies of our life. God does not cause death. He's not the author of death. He wants us to live. He wants us to live forever. But as you know, we're human, and we're all going to die. It's a part of our human experience. But God is in the mess. God knows how to bring good things. God knows how to make all things work to good for those who love him. People that don't believe in God and don't think about heaven and the afterlife, they have no purpose. They have no meaning. They're just kind of living. If they get sick or if they get cancer, they don't understand what's going on. But we have a destination. We have a destiny. You know, something that's popular in today's society is it's all about the journey, not about the destination. Well, I want to flip that upside down to say, yeah, I get it. It's about the journey. But most of all, it is about the destination. It's about the journey and the destination. In fact, without a destination, your journey doesn't have any meaning. It has no significance. And your destination, of course, is coming before God when you die. And we must be ready for this. So I want to tell you that we're all going to die, and we all know that. But the purpose of our life is to be sanctified, to be purified, to be ready for that death when it occurs. We're all familiar with death, and it's in the news. Just in the year 2017, that was last year, as I'm taping this, Jim Nabors, Mary Tyler Moore, Glenn Campbell, Jerry Lewis, Don Rickles, the list goes on and on, people that have passed. And perhaps you know somebody, perhaps you're grieving, and I'm going to talk more about grieving as this program goes on, but you know, we all are very familiar with it. We've all been to funerals. I went to a website, it's called the Worldometer, and in this website, interestingly, it shares about the people that are dying at this very moment around the world and the people that are being born at this very moment around the world. And let me try to describe it to you this way. What is that? Those are the people at this very moment that are dying somewhere around the world. And then, those are the people that are being born somewhere around the world. So our population's growing. It's 7.6 billion, if you can believe that, right now in the world, and it's growing. But my point is that at this very moment, people are coming and they're going. If we could only see it on a conveyor belt, you see all these different people being born and all these people dying. So birth is something very natural, and I want you to understand that death is something very natural. One of the great saints in our Catholic Church said that, his name is St. Francis of Assisi, he said, he called death, Sister Death. And I love that, because death isn't something so much to be feared. I know it's mysterious, and you don't know exactly how or when or where or why, but it's Sister Death. It's something we're all going to encounter. Just like our birth, something very natural. You need to look at it that way and not be so afraid of it. Book of Hebrews calls the fear of death the primal fear that we all have. All the fears that we have in our life all comes from that fear of death. And you can somehow lose that intensity of the fear of death as you come to faith in Christ. Believe in the resurrection. Believe that something beautiful is going to happen when you die. I read a book by a woman named Bronnie Ware. And she did some ministry among those in hospice, those in the sick and the dying, nursing homes. And she talked about regret. Many people who are about to die have regrets in their life. And because of their regrets, they're really suffering in misery. And the number one regret, she listed in her book, Five Regrets, the number one was wishing that they had lived their life differently. One woman even said, please share my message so that others will learn by my mistakes. Well, I don't know about you, when I get to the end of my life, you know, this is one of the reasons why I love to preach and to produce and to write books and to help people. But one of the reasons I'm doing it, one of my motivations is when I get to the end of my life and I'm sitting there 80, 90, 95 years old, however long God gives me, and I'm looking back at my life, I want to smile. And I want to say, I lived with passion. I fulfilled my destiny. I realized my potential, and I became all that I could be. You know, I have that saying as the foundation of my ministry, who you are is God's gift to you, but who you become is your gift to God. And that's exactly what I want for you. I want you to become, and that's why I produce this program, Live with Passion. I want you to fulfill your destiny. I want you to become all that you can be. I remember on Ash Wednesday, as people come forward, I anoint them with ashes, and I do something very interesting. The formula, the correct formula is, remember, O man, remember, O woman, that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. About 1 billion people will come forward on Ash Wednesday and hear those words. Why does the church remind us of our death on Ash Wednesday as we begin Lent? Because it can be a great motivator. It calls us to accountability, calls us to responsibility, that knowing that we're going to die, let's live our life to the full. That's why I call this program, this particular episode, Live Well and Grieve Well. And that's what I mean by live with passion, that you live well, you fulfill your destiny. Every once in a while, I'll take a walk and I'll see a graveyard over there, and I'll go walking over and I'll kind of go through the tombstones, and I'll see people who have lived 90 years and all of a sudden their life is over with. And I'm thinking to myself, I want to live the best I can because I know I'm going to be there someday. And I want my life to have significance and meaning and purpose. I want to touch as many people as I can now while I have breath. And that's the way we got to live, flat out, with passion, with purpose, with meaning, with significance, because one day we're going to have a tombstone too. So be the best that you can be.
Don't just live, live passionately. Jesus came to bring us abundant life, a life filled with joy, hope, and purpose. For over a decade, Father Cedric Pizania has been sharing the life-changing message of hope with people around the world. As a priest with a vow of poverty, Father Cedric's programs and resources are created with one purpose in mind, to change lives. Would you consider calling and giving today? It's only because of generous people like you who can give, we are able to reach multitudes every day. We hear life-changing testimonies from people who watch us on television. As always, we treasure the support of our partners. As a priest with a vow of poverty, you can know that 100% of your donation will go directly toward producing and airing Live with Passion. To partner with us, call 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Or go to fathercedric.org. Write us at Father Cedric Ministries, 430 Bunker Hill Road, Houston, Texas, 77024. Thank you.
Heard about a man named Alfred Nobel. You've all heard of him before. Let me explain it to you. Alfred Nobel was a man who lived in Sweden, and he discovered and created dynamite. Dynamite that was used in the wars. This is back in the 1800s. Killed a lot of people through his creation. And he would also use dynamite for building construction purposes. Well, one day, his brother had died, Ludwig. And he went to the newspaper, Alfred did, and he wanted to read the obituary about his brother. And his mouth dropped wide open. He couldn't believe it. Mistakenly, although his brother had died, they put his obituary in the newspaper. And this is what he read. In this French newspaper, it said, "The merchant of death has died." The man who found a way to kill more people faster than anyone who ever lived, the creator of dynamite, has finally died. And he read that, and it was like a ton of bricks hit him. He read his own obituary, can you imagine? And it changed his life. The obituary about his own death changed his life. He decided instead of pouring all that money, he made a lot of money, into more dynamite and creating ways to hurt people, he decided to work for peace. And he gave away a lot of his money to help people to have peace and to bring peace among nations. Now, you've heard of him before, Alfred Nobel, because the Nobel Peace Prize was named after him. You see, while there's time to change. We've all heard of that story. You've probably seen it on TV, especially around Christmas time. It's called Dickens' A Christmas Carol. And there's Ebenezer Scrooge. You know, he's real stingy. He's real selfish. We've all seen that. Kind of represents us in some way, shape, or form. And Ebenezer Scrooge is there, and, you know, he's just a miserly old man. And he has this dream about these ghosts that come to him, the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas future. And the ghost of Christmas future shows him his own gravestone. And when he sees it, he trembles because he realizes that he's not ready to die. And then all of a sudden he wakes up and it's Christmas morning. And I mean, he is so happy. He's so happy that it was only a dream. And I mean, he starts giving his money away and he's joyful. He's never been joyful before. He changed his life. His impending death, knowing that he was going to die, made him change his life. And so I believe that that story is meant for all of us, that while we have time, there's time to change. Some of you have just flipped into this program and you're looking for something. And I want to tell you that I believe that you came into this program providentially, that God wants you here. God has given you time. He's been patient with you. Over and over again, he's speaking to you. Now is the time to make a move with God. I realize that some of you have lost your spouse. You've lost a child to death, certainly parents to death, and it can be devastating. So death is something that calls us to accountability, but it also is something that we encounter in our life that can cause a lot of misery, because grieving is one of the hardest things that you can go through. Grieving is a tremendously difficult trial in our life. I remember growing up, you know, I had never lost anybody close to me, grandparents that I didn't really know, but finally, my best friend and my biggest supporter, my dad, passed away. And he passed away in his sleep at age 76. My name is Cedric Pazania, and I'm a junior. I bear his name. We were such good friends. He was so close to me. I could always trust him. You know, I had other friends in life and I had girlfriends in my life, but I never had anybody like my dad. And suddenly, in his sleep, he all of a sudden passes away. From nowhere, I'm thrust into the grieving process. And I mean, there's sadness and despair and hardship. And I think the hardest thing was that I realized that now for the rest of my life, however long I'm going to live, I'm going to be separated from my dad, not going to be able to talk with him, see him, have great times together with him, listen to his advice. There's that separation, and that's what grieving is all about, that separation that's so hard. And not only that, as a Catholic priest, I was called to preside at his funeral. So there's all my relatives in front of me and, you know, all of his friends, and we had the funeral in Massachusetts. We had another funeral for him in Florida. It was one of the hardest moments of my life to stand before all these people and talk about my dad. Not hard talking about my dad, but hard burying my dad. It was a very difficult moment. But I remember something that God spoke to me during that time that really helped me. Because there's a verse in the Bible that says, "We don't grieve like the rest without hope." That comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. I love that. I want you to get this. Those of you who are grieving, going through a hard time, you've lost a spouse or a husband, a wife, a child, a best friend, family member, parent, whatever, we don't grieve like the rest. Who are the rest? Unbelievers. Rather, we grieve with hope. And I need to tell you that the Bible all over the place tells us that we have a living hope of a future with God. And I call heaven the great reunion. And what God spoke to me was this as I was grieving. I used to live in Sacramento, California, and my parents lived in Florida. So I would see them and then leave, go across the country, do ministry and writing and producing and different things. And I wouldn't see my parents for about sometimes 5 or 6 months. That's a long time not to see somebody that you love. Finally, I'd get to Florida and I'd walk in the door and hug my mom and dad. And it was just like no time had passed. 6 months had gone by, and all of a sudden we just picked up right where we left off. And that's what God revealed to me about grieving. He said, Cedric, I know that you're going through a hard time because you lost your dad, but one day in heaven, the great reunion, it's going to be just like no time had passed. You're going to pick up right where you left off. Some of you have lost your spouse. You've lost a child. And I know it's hard because the separation, but I want to tell you the separation is temporary. It's not going to last forever. There is a great reunion coming. And when that reunion comes, it's going to be just like no time had passed. And you're going to pick up right where you left off. And that should cause you joy. We don't grieve like the rest without hope. We have a great hope. So take courage. Be strong. Know that something beautiful is coming. Sometime after that, I lost my mom. My mom lived to be 90 years old. Finally, she died of heart trouble and a stroke. I was with her as she passed away. God gave me that grace. And I realized that as hard as it was to lose my mom, because I loved her too, and she was one of my best friends, I loved my parents, and they were so good to me. As hard as it was to lose my mom, I tried to focus on the positive. And if you're grieving, focus on the positive. Number one, when I lost my dad, he died quickly in his sleep. He didn't suffer. My mom did suffer, but she died at age 90. So the positive thing for her was it was her time. So you look for something positive in the whole situation. For my dad, he died quickly. For my mom, it was her time. I don't understand why some people die early. Like Father Jim Willig, for example, I shared with what happened to him when he got renal cancer and died at age 40 as a Catholic priest. I don't understand that, but I do understand that we're all in God's hands, people of faith, that we have a living hope, and that God writes straight with crooked lines. But I know this, if you focus on the positive, God will bring something good out of it. So let's talk a little bit more about grieving and the time that I have left. I wanted to share with you a book about grieving. And one of the experts on this is a woman named Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. She wrote a book called On Death and Dying and On Grieving. And in these books, she talks about the stages that we have of grieving. And I don't know if you know this, but when you go into the grief process, there are stages. And she listed these stages in her book, On Death and Dying and On Grief and Grieving. And the stages are like this: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and finally acceptance. So there are many different stages of grieving. And when somebody tells me, Father, I just lost a spouse or I lost a child, I always look at them and I say, I understand. You know, I've lost my parents and it hurt me deeply. And then I look at them and I say, grieve well. And what do I mean by that when I say grieve well? What I mean is that when you're going through these stages of grieving, I'm praying that you won't get stuck in anger. You won't get stuck in denial. You won't get stuck in sadness or bargaining, but you'll move through the stages into the stage of acceptance. And you can do that. So if you've lost somebody that you love, I want to tell you, grieve well. You don't need to stay stuck. So let me talk a little bit more about grieving. First of all, when you're grieving, you are going to be bombarded by emotions. I call it a kaleidoscope of emotions: anger, depression, despair, sadness, loneliness, hurt, lack of energy. You have trouble concentrating. And so these emotions are going to come. Don't feel like something's wrong with you. Let them come. Just accept it. Don't let anybody tell you what you should feel. You feel what you feel. And it's okay, you're human. So then I want to tell you that some days are going to be better than others. Some days you're going to wake up and it's just going to overwhelm you. Other days you're going to be stronger. But I can tell you this, I discovered this with grieving my mom and dad. Time heals. In time, the emotions will be less intense and you're going to be able to move through it. And then I wanted to share with you that grieving is a season. I grew up in Massachusetts, and in Massachusetts we would have harsh winters, very cold, but then spring came, new life, Same way with grieving. There's going to be a harshness, a hardness, trials, sadness. But then, in Christ, with hope, spring will blossom. So realize it's just a season. You're going to move through it. Grieve well. Don't get stuck in any of the stages. And then I wanted to share with you that I met a woman, a friend of mine, lost her husband a couple years ago, devastated her. They were so in love, good Catholic family. And he died at age 61. Well, what she did is she's grieving, but she's not staying stuck. She got involved with grief groups. She leads a grief group. And she said, I want to use my pain to help other people. And I think that's so beautiful. Nobody can move you through grief except yourself. You need to make the decision to move forward and be all that you can be. So let me wrap this up and say we're all going to die. Life, death, it's all part of our experience. We must be ready. And if you're grieving somebody that you lost, I want you to know that we don't grieve as the rest of the world without hope. We have a living hope. So I want you to live well, to live with passion, and I want you to grieve well and move through the stages to springtime. Don't just live, live with passion. I hope that you will live well and grieve well. If you're going through grieving right now, move through those stages. God will help you. Got a letter from a man and he said, been active Catholic all my life, never experienced such a powerful presentation on the Word of God as you have delivered it, Father Cedric. I believe that now I can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to thank you for your boldness and clarity on God's Word, and I have enclosed a donation. I thank this man, and that's exactly what I'm trying to do with Live with Passion. I want you to live well, and living well means by giving your life to Christ, developing a relationship with Him. And I want you to grieve well for those of you who are grieving. I wrote a book called Challenges Make Champions, and I'll discuss grieving in that book. It'll help you to move through the stages. Anytime you buy one of my resources or make a donation to my ministry, you're supporting my television programs to be broadcast all around the world. Thank you, thank you, thank you in advance. Don't just live, live with passion.
Don't just live, live passionately. Jesus came to bring us abundant life, a life filled with joy, hope, and purpose. For over a decade, Father Cedric Pezzegna has been sharing the life-changing message of hope with people around the world. As a priest with a vow of poverty, Father Cedric's programs and resources are created with one purpose in mind, to change lives. Would you consider calling and giving today? It's only because of generous people like you who can give. We are able to reach multitudes every day. We hear life-changing testimonies from people who watch us on television. As always, we treasure the support of our partners. As a priest with a vow of poverty, you can know that 100% of your donation will go directly toward producing and airing Live with Passion. To partner with us, call 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Or go to fathercedric.org. Write us at Father Cedric Ministries, 430 Bunker Hill Road, Houston, Texas, 77024. Thank you.